السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved علماء اکرام, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, nourisher, sustainer and provider, that Allah whom we are totally dependent on. We cannot take a step, we cannot blink our eye, we cannot breathe, if it is not with the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent as a mercy unto the entire universes. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as Allah has mentioned in the Holy Quran. My most beloved elders and brothers, I stand before you, but really it is a very, very difficult task, because the level and the capabilities of the speakers that you all have been listening to is much, much more higher than my abilities. But I've been commanded to come and stand in front of you. So inshallah, maybe it will be a way of balancing the skills. I'll try my best inshallah to share some words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the ability of understanding and putting into practice. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once called the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum close to the minbar. And when he went up the first step, he said, Ameen. When he went up the second step, he said, Ameen. When he went up the third step, he said, Ameen again. Now the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, they analyzed and they looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every single movement, every word he said, they scrutinized him. So on that particular occasion, just the fact that he said Ameen was something different from the norm. So when he came down from the minbar, or when he ascended, when he was up in the minbar, he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, asked him, that said, O Rasulullah, today when you went up the minbar, you said something different. Every time you don't say Ameen. This time you said Ameen on the first step, second step Ameen, third step Ameen. Why did you say Ameen on each of those steps? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was the greatest angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had come to me and he had made a dua. Or you want to call it in our term, a bad dua. He said, may the curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on that individual. Listen carefully to the words. May the curses of Allah be on that individual who witnesses the month of Ramadan, and despite him witnessing the month of Ramadan, did not earn the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said Ameen to that dua. And went up the second step. He said, may the curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, woe and destruction to that individual whom the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom your name is taken in his presence, and yet durood and salawat is not sent upon you. To that dua I also said Ameen. And when he went up the third step, he said the angel made this dua, that woe and destruction, curses be on that individual who one or both of his parents, they are at reach old age, and he does not serve them, thereby not gaining them forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not earning the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, does not take care of his parents, especially in his old age, either one or both of his parents. So he says, upon that also I said Ameen. My focus is obviously on the first part. Each one of this is a topic and a bayan and discussions on its own, rights of parents, the importance and the significance of durood and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our focus that it is month of Ramadan. This hadith is mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu. It is something that we may have heard it maybe last week and the week before. But let us take consideration of the fact that today is already the 7th of Ramadan. 7 days of Ramadan has already completed. Monday will be already Ashara, the first 10 days, which is the ashara of maghfirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned one hadith that the month of Ramadan is divided into three parts. The first 10 days is the days of maghfirah. The middle 10 days are the days of rahmah. And the last 10 days are the days of emancipation from the freedom of Jahannam. So have we started or we still waiting to get our engines warm? Behold, the days of Ramadan, we'll be seeing the moon of Eid and we'll still be thinking of starting. Let us get our act in order. Let us start immediately if we haven't started our ma'amulat. The ulama are saying that if we do not get our ma'amulat, whether it's tilawat of Quran, whether it's our tasbih, whether it's our salah, etc., in order in the month of Ramadan, when the environment and the society and the mahol, as we say around us, is much more conducive than the rest of the year, if you don't get it in order in this month, it's going to be much, much more difficult for the rest of the year. Time is flying. Time will not wait for us. It's going to end. Let us put our act in order. The ulama have given an example. They say, month of Ramadan is, as an example only, a person is given a money-making machine. Somebody comes to you and they give you a machine. And they say, this machine will continue making money for you as long as you turn it. Maybe it's some type of olden machine where you need to turn and you need to generate the money. As long as you're turning it, you will get money. Now think of it, if you got that machine, what you would do? You will stand there as long as your knees and your back allows, you will continue turning and turning and turning. If you need to stop for a toilet break or for a tea break, you will call your son or you'll call somebody, please continue with this machine, because every time if you're going to stop, you're going to lose out. If they're not available, you'll make your wife also. Everybody will be involved to ensure that that machine is working for 24 hours. Why? You want to lose out. Every cent counts. You're making money. That machine needs to turn 24 hours. If you stop, you lose. As long as you continue turning, you will gain. So every second, every minute, every hour, every day in Ramadan, it's our time to maximize and to gain and to make our investment for the Akhirah. We're not making any rands and cents or dollars of this world. We are making the currency of Akhirah in Ramadan, where we will make one nafil or sunnah in the month of Ramadan. Allah is going to give us the reward of a fard out of the month of Ramadan. If you keep and you perform one fard in the month of Ramadan, Allah is going to multiply that 70 times. In other words, if you read your Fajr Salah this morning, out of Ramadan, let's say you would have got one reward. Because it's the month of Ramadan, that is automatically multiplied 7 times. So that money-making machine for the Akhirah, that investment is left to us now. How we will utilize it? Will we engage ourselves in all other activities? Imagine that machine. Keep in front of you that example of that machine. You got that machine. You say, okay, I'll come and look at that machine. Let me do all my other work. When I got free time, when I'm available, I'll make some time. Then you will lose. Normal sane person, he will sacrifice everything else, give everything else second stage, and he'll prioritize, this is what I have to do. So this month of Ramadan, let us prioritize, put the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forward, our tilawat of Quran, our tasbihat, and what the ulama are guiding us to do in this month of Ramadan. Let us get that done. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that we should recite abundantly, La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'aluka al-jannah, a'udhu bika minan nar. In other words, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, as'aluka al-jannah, wa a'udhu bika minan nar, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. And then make lots of istighfar and recitation of the best zikr, which is La ilaha illallah. Let us engage in that. Let us set goals for this month of Ramadan. Minimum, I will complete one juz a day if I'm not a hafiz. If I'm a hafiz, then much more than that. So that I will be able to complete at least one Quran for the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. More the merrier. But let's say minimum, we're speaking about minimum requirements. Maximum, there is no limit. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in another hadith that there are many people who are fasting. رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صُيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ. And the only thing they are getting out of that fast is hunger. Many people are performing Taraweeh Salah. They are standing at night. And the only benefit they are getting is tiredness. In other words, you're fasting. You made the sacrifice. You're not eating and you're not drinking. You're staying hungry, but that's all you got out of the fast. You made the effort of coming for Taraweeh Salah, standing for 20 rakats. But you didn't get anything but tiredness. The reason for that, the ulama say, Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahumullah has mentioned different reasons. But one reason is, he says, we fasted the entire day. But we are not careful with regards to the time of iftar, what type of food we are consuming. We are consuming haram food, hence the entire day fast goes to waste. So he says, let's be wary of that. Number two, he says, we are fasting, but on the other hand, we are backbiting. So he made mention of the incident in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there were two women who were complaining of extreme hunger. They were feeling very, very hungry. They were fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them, and he made them vomit, induced, the vomit was induced. And they saw pieces of flesh coming out. So they said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were also astonished. We never eat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, you were involved in the evil of backbiting. So we are fasting, but we are backbiting. All the barakah, all the nur, all the rahmah, all the rewards that we want from that fast, we are being deprived of. And he says the third thing is that we are fasting, but at the same time, we are committing sins. So the sins are having the effect of the quality and the purpose of fast, which was to gain taqwa, as the ayat I mentioned in the beginning. We fast so that the quality of taqwa can come into our lives. But the sin is now not giving us the true benefit of fast. So we're only getting hungry. That's all we benefit from fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also mentioned in one hadith that this fast is a shield. But this will remain a shield for you as long as you do not tear it. Fast is a shield. It's a protection for you from whatever harms and sins, etc., everything else. But it will only serve as a shield as long as you fulfill certain requirements. So the Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah again has explained that the requirements for this fast to be a protection for you are you have to protect your organs. He says if you are fasting and you're looking at haram, then the fast, the nur and the anwarat and the barakat, you are not going to achieve. If you are fasting and you are listening to haram in different forms, whether it's music, whether it's lies and ghibah or whatever, then he says you are now depriving yourself of the nur and the anwarat and the barakat of the fast. You are fasting and you are not careful about what you are speaking. And like that he says your entire body is not just your stomach that needs to fast to get the true blessings of this month of Ramadan. Every part of your body needs to fast. Fast against breaking any of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sawm literally means to abstain. Yes, we abstain from food, we have to abstain from drink, we have to abstain from our desires, but also and in fact equally important is the abstention from all forms of sin. Then only the fast will become a source of barakah and nur for us. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all ability of understanding and putting into practice. And also just to understand, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has mentioned that a person who will miss 1 day of fast in Ramadan without any valid excuse. A person who will miss 1 day of fast without any valid excuse. He will not be able to compensate for that day even if he fasts his entire lifetime. A person who will miss only 1 day without any excuse can fast for the rest of his life. He will not be able to compensate for that 1 day of Ramadan that he missed out. So this is opportunities. Ramadan will come, only Allah knows whether we will be here next year or not. I want to explain to you an example, and this is something all of us need to reflect on. There's an article that appeared in the Detroit News, and it gives an illustration of two Muslims, and it explains each one of them. Now I want all of us sitting here, inshallah, to see and think, which side do we follow? Which description fits us? And let us make the correct choice. So they describe that these two Muslims in this Palestinian camp in Jordan, one of them wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning. One of them wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning and has to walk 1 mile to perform his Fajr Salah. The second one, he's only returning home at 4 o'clock in the morning, ready to go to sleep. Returning from a night out partying and enjoying himself in the latest nightclubs and parties and whatever. So person A wakes up at Fajr, 4 o'clock in the morning, walks to the masjid. Person B is going to sleep only at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then he says, same person A, He has a worry and concern. What is happening? What is the plight of my Muslim brothers? He has a fikr and worry and concern for the Muslim ummah. The second person, he doesn't care. But yes, he knows what are the latest music videos that are out. And he knows the names of the latest soccer players. Person A, put ourselves in the picture, is an individual who is proud of being a Muslim. He has a beard and he tries to practice as a Muslim in every part of Sunnah as far as possible. Person B shaves his beard because the skin, soft skin, will impress the girls. Then he says, person A, in the light of Western media and what we see, the propaganda around us, will be labeled fundamentalist, terrorist, bad guy, setting a bad example to society. Person B, he is a modern, well advanced, a person who is keeping up to the times. We need to decide. The choice is ours. There's no three ways. There's only two ways. It's either Jannah or Jahannam, as Allah says in the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa in your life, you'll get Jannah. Whereas you transgress and break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Jahannam. Our belief is clear. When a person dies, it's either Jannah or Jahannam. There is no third place. Now you need to decide, the choice is yours in this world. Which direction are we taking? Allah says in many ayats of the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. Is that person a believer and other person is a fasiq? You cannot be the same. There is no compromise. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That indeed that person who has made effort to purify his soul is successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person who did not make effort to purify his soul, he has lost out, his doom and destruction for him. So the road is either one of two. Now we need to decide which road are we going to take. So I ask the students in school, how do I know whether I should take the N2 or the N3? How will I know whether I should take the N2 or the N3? So they said, well, that depends on where I want to go. So depending on your destination, that will guide you as to the choice you need to make. So we should also have the same attitude. What is our destination? Where do we want to go? If I want to go Jannah, then I need to follow a certain route. I cannot take, for example, if I want to go to Johannesburg, I cannot take the road that's going to Cape Town. I have to take the road that's going to Johannesburg, otherwise I'm going to the wrong place. If I want to go Cape Town, I'll take the Cape Town road. In a similar way, if I want to go Jannah, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. That this is my path. Allah is saying, Rasulullah, say to the people, this is my path. I invite you towards it. إِنَّا هَدِيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. I have given you the guidance. I showed you the road. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Now it's left to you. Either you be grateful, you be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you be ungrateful and break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The choice is yours. Each one of you sitting here, yes, the Mawlana, the Bayan can inspire us. But the decision at the end of the day is we'll have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have done in this world, for the choices that we have made in this world. The choice is ours. In fact, that article had a very good topic, a very good heading. It was called Parting versus Praying. Parting versus Praying. So we need to decide, are we in this world to have a big party and die in a way that our destiny is Jahannam and azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we in this world to pray and think of our objective and purpose of being sent in this world? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِعَبُدُونَ. Allah says, I created man and jinn for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The message is clear. There's two roads. The choice is ours. We decide which way we want to go. But remember also one thing. The road to Jannah is uphill. The road to Jannah is uphill. And the road to Jahannam is slippery and slidey and easy to fall down. Downhill, if you want to look at it like that. Uphill, because we always have enemies around us. Shaitan, nafs, the environment, makes it much more difficult for us. But those who will sacrifice, put pressure on themselves and surrender to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that this world is a prison. I'm not in this world that I'll be able to satisfy every desire of mine. No, no. That's only in Jannah. In this world, there are things that I'm allowed to do. There are limitations that Allah has put for us. I will live my life. I will enjoy my life within these parameters. So it's a little bit of uphill. But inshallah, when you will die, you will get total enjoyment. And the road to Jahannam is very easy. All the attractions also, there's a degree of temporary enjoyment that we will enjoy in these things. Shaitan is there, he'll make you slip. But the problem is not also, one point I'll conclude inshallah, the problem is not also if we slip. If you made a mistake, every person makes a mistake. If you slip, let's stand up. This is the month of Ramadan. Let's make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah has given us opportunities. If you have slipped up, alhamdulillah, we have Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. We'll forgive all our sins. Let's make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand up and continue on our road in the right direction. And let's not be from those who will slip and continue slipping headlong in the wrong direction. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me also the ability of putting into practice. I spoke for the first half of my bayan, of my talk, on the significance, the importance of these days of Ramadan that we have. Brothers, time is being fast. Let us appreciate, let us maximize. The ulama have given another example of this month of Ramadan. One was the money making example, the money making machine. But the other example is like checks. They say like as though Allah is giving you 30 blank checks. Imagine if somebody gives you a blank check. Now obviously he must have had money in his bank account, right? Unlimited. And he says, write how much you want. So you write whatever amount you want, maximum. And whatever you write, you will get. So each day Allah as though is giving us a blank check. Now you fill how much you want. Fill up your account how much you want, no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue filling your bank account, but that is not for something of this world. It is in akhirah, inshallah. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا الْبَلَاغُ وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ